Hi, everybody. I'm Arun Vanigopal, and you're listening to The Takeaway. Over the last few years, the United Kingdom has come under renewed fire for its treatment of migrants. People living in the UK for decades are now subject to detention and deportation due to increasingly restrictive immigration policies. Just this week, the British government allowed a deportation flight carrying 17 migrants to leave the UK for Jamaica. The flight was supposed to carry up to 50 people, but a last-minute legal challenge halted the deportation of at least 25 of them. Policymakers and advocates called for the British government to suspend the flight following the leak of a report looking into the Windrush scandal from 2018, which revealed that many migrants were wrongfully detained and deported. For more on this, we turn to Nicholas Boston, associate professor at the City University of New York, Lehman College, and Hazel V. Carby, author of Imperial Intimacies, A Tale of Two Islands. Thank you both for joining us.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Nick, who exactly were the people deported this week? What do we know about them?
The people who were deported were people who had committed crimes in the United Kingdom, had done time in jail, served their sentences, and were being deported because they do not hold British citizenship. And that is a very complex and complicated status, if you will, given that there's a strong possibility that is unproven, but needs to be closely investigated, whether some of these individuals are children of Windrush generation citizens.
So, correct. Some of these people allegedly came as young as age 2, age 5, age 7,
correct.
Very young in their childhood, and they were children of people from this generation. Tell us about this generation for Americans who aren't familiar with this term. What is the Windrush generation?
Migrants from the former British West Indies, now the Anglophone Caribbean, who arrived in the United Kingdom as primarily economic migrants, but for a number of different motivations, but primarily economics, between 1948 with the arrival of this ship called the HMT Empire Windrush. So between that bookend and 1973,
okay.
They sort of rounded out to the point at which the United Kingdom joined the EU. So that's what's referred to as the Windrush generation.
Got it. So these people who were on this particular flight deported back to Jamaica, this is actually not sort of a one-off, is it, Hazel? This isn't the first time we've seen this happen, correct?
No, it isn't the first time that we've seen it happen. And what is now called the sort of the Windrush betrayal is actually because Theresa May, when she was Home Secretary in charge of the Home Office, introduced new legislation to cut immigration numbers. It was supposed to be a sort of sop to the media, to the population at large, that she would cut immigration. But actually, as a result of the legislation, thousands of people who'd actually been living legally in the UK for decades suddenly found themselves classified as illegal immigrants, lost their jobs, were made homeless, denied health care, some were detained and some were deported to countries that they'd left when they were, you know, very, very small children. Now, the government, quote unquote, apologized for this and actually instituted a commission, an investigation, an independent commission. The problem is the government will not release that report. So people are actually outraged that deportations have begun again without hearing the result of the independent commission. And people are sort of leaking little bits of it because it would appear that the commission report is very damning about the government policy.
Nick, this generation we're talking about, the Windrush generation, their cultural impact on England and the world at large is quite profound, is it not?
Yeah. So, I mean, during that period, the time period that has now been ascribed to the Windrush generation. And that in itself is a whole process that took place over a period beginning in around 1995 when the term was first introduced. Yeah, I mean, there were massive cultural transformations in the United Kingdom and sort of exported, if you will, if you think about popular culture, if you think about music cultures, certainly at the political level, across the board in terms of public life and cultural production, it was massively transformative what occurred in the wake of the arrival of these significant numbers of migrants. And I really want to stress the point that they were not immigrants. They were migrants. They were moving from within an empire, the former British Empire, and they arrived as British citizens.
Hazel, Nick has brought up this important point about the empire, and I'd like to hear a little more about your own experience. You grew up in a biracial home, correct?
Yes, I did. I mean, the problem with the title, The Windrush Generation, is it makes it appear as if these close ties with the Anglophone West Indies were somehow a post-World War II phenomenon, which they were not. So many of the people on the original Windrush that docked in 1948 were returning servicemen. And my father was a member of the RAF during the war, as were many thousands of people from the Caribbean, men and women, who fought for Britain during the war. I was 6 months old when the Empire Windrush landed, or docked, I should say. And I was always having to explain myself to people who asked me where I came from. And when I told them I was born in Devon in England, they would say with a certain frustration in their voice, well, yes, but you know what we mean. Where did you come from before that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So black children, and in fact, after the war, black people who had, many who had migrated and actually spent their lives rebuilding Britain after the devastation of the war, were never really felt to belong, to be as British as the British, even though they entered with British passports, just as my father did.
Yes, and Nick, recently, just a few days ago, somebody named Professor Kehinde Andrews sort of spoke the truth to Piers Morgan, saying that, you know, the British Empire was no more beneficent, if you will, than the Nazi empire in terms of the cumulative death toll and all that stuff. And you've seen the outrage over this. This is really not a conversation that England really wants to have right now, is it?
So, yes and no. I do believe that when we talk about what's taking place now in terms of the responses, the reactions, the mobilizing around modern-day Britain, we can't also write out people of color because they're there. That presence is there. And so just in terms of talking about the deportation flight, it was a kind of like a broad base of organizing that went across immigrants' rights folks, grassroots organizing within the African Caribbean communities and communities of color, what in the United Kingdom is called BAME, Black, Asian, and Minority Ethnic Communities. So there is that presence. And so I'm hesitant to say that there's a complete blanket resistance to having that discussion because they are taking place. But yes, there is a very strong resilience to this kind of nostalgia, and certainly a political resistance.
Nicholas Boston is an associate professor at the City University of New York, Lehman College, and Hazel V. Carby is author of Imperial Intimacies, A Tale of Two Islands. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you, Arun.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.